Question number 92. What is a sacrament? A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. Number 93. Which are the sacraments of the New Testament? The sacraments of the New Testament are baptism and the Lord's Supper. So here we are. We are looking at the means of grace, what the Catechism calls ordinances, the ordained means whereby the benefits of Christ are brought to us by the Holy Spirit. So if I want to be saved, if I want to grow as a Christian, the means, the God-given means whereby that growth takes place is through the Holy Spirit working through the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. So we've looked at the ministry of the Word, we've begun to look at the sacraments, and now we're getting a definition of the sacraments. We've answered the question, how do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? And the answer that we saw was, it's not anything inherent. It's not found in the properties of the bread and the cup and the water themselves, as though they had some divine power in them to bring about the thing that they represent. The washing of the blood, the benefit of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ and the washing of the water representing the washing of the soul. No, there is not an inherent property in them. It is by the believing communicant receiving that which flows from Christ through the Spirit. So question number 91, what is a sacrament? It's a holy ordinance instituted by Christ. So stop there. For a sacrament to be a sacrament, it has to be instituted by Christ. So there are other groups that say, for example, marriage is a sacrament. So the Catechism wants to know, is that an institution that was ordained by Christ? And the answer to the question is no. Marriage, the foundation of marriage is found all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. That's in the garden. So that we will speak of marriage as a creation ordinance. So marriage and work, for example, are creation ordinances of all human beings are commanded to marry and work. Not that all single people have to marry, but if that romantic intimacy is to be enjoyed, it's in the context of marriage. It's for all of humanity. Another example would be the Sabbath. The Sabbath, Jesus says, was made for man. For humanity. For all humanity. So these are not instituted by Christ. Think back to creation. Marriage was established for the benefit of humanity. The ordination of work to till the soil and grow the garden, that was a creation ordinance there from the beginning. Sabbath is there from the very beginning. So for a sacrament to be a sacrament, a sacrament is not just anything that's commanded. It is specifically an ordinance that is instituted by Christ. And that's what Jesus did in the Last Supper, the account of which we have in the three synoptic Gospels. And the Apostle Paul then repeats that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, synoptic meaning Matthew, Mark, Luke. 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26 on our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. There he is. He's instituting the Lord's Supper. So it's a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs. Here, sensible does not mean reasonable. It doesn't mean like when your mom says, why don't you show good sense? Why don't you do something sensible, meaning something reasonable? No, here it means that which can be perceived by the senses. So preaching is perceived by the ear, the sense of sound. We're able to hear, the sense of hearing. We're able by our ears to hear With the Lord's Supper, with baptism, then the other senses are engaged. Sensible signs. So, can you see the water of baptism? Can you see the baptism taking place? Yes. Can you see the bread? Can you see the fruit of the vine? Yes. Can you smell the bread and smell the fruit of the vine? The answer is yes. Can you feel the water? Can you feel, touch the bread? And if you were inclined to do so, touch the fruit of the vine. Yes. So that these, the sacraments are signs that can be perceived by the senses that take us beyond just hearing with the ear. The two sacraments, as the next question answers, baptism and the Lord's Supper, they're both sensible signs. They appeal to a variety of our senses, touch, taste, smell, as well sight, as well as our hearing. So Holy Ordinance instituted by Christ, whereby sensible signs, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied. Represented and symbolized, the bread, it represents the body of Christ. The blood the blood is represented by the fruit of the vine. So you have symbols of the body and of the blood of Christ. The water of baptism, properly understood, represents the outpouring of the blood of Christ that by which we're justified, and the outpouring of the Spirit of Christ whereby we are converted and sanctified. So the holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed. Sealing here refers to confirmation. The benefits are confirmed. You have received the benefits of redemption. You've received those benefits by faith. They are now being confirmed by the sacraments. So a person who is converted as an adult, they come to faith in Christ. Their commitment to Christ and Christ's commitment to them, the benefits of the work of Christ, are then confirmed. They are ratified. They are sealed by baptism. They are sealed, ratified, confirmed again by the Lord's Supper. So they're represented, sealed, and applied. Applied means that actual benefits are conferred. So they're not just represented and they're not just confirmed, they are conferred. They are given. Grace is transmitted. Blessing is transmitted. Benefit is received. Something actually happens. So the sacraments are not merely symbols. They are symbols, but they're not merely symbols. They do represent the benefits of redemption. They don't merely represent. They also confirm the benefits of redemption, and they confer those benefits. They communicate those benefits. The one who's baptized, or the communicant in the Lord's Supper, receive grace. They are, as we're seeing, they are means of grace. So we don't ever want to reduce them to mere symbolism. So they are a holy ordinance. They're not a creation ordinance. They are holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs that appeal to the senses. I can see, I can hear, I can taste, I can touch. The sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, by sensible signs, Christ and the benefit of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. So there's a couple of things to say further about this. One is, why do you Presbyterians have houses of worship that are so devoid of religious art, religious symbols, pictures, statues, symbols that would enhance our faith, that might encourage our faith? And the answer is, because we don't want any of those distracting from the God-ordained signs, the God-ordained symbols. When is the Word made visible? It's made visible in the sacraments. They are visible words, as the great early theologian Augustine defined them. They are visible words. The Word is being made visible. And so we want attention being directed to the ordained means of making the Word visible. God did not ordain painters. He did not, in addition to the apostles and the preaching, ordain painters and their canvases. He did not, in addition to the apostles and their preaching, ordain sculptors and their creations. And he could have done that. He didn't ordain dramatists so that there could be dramatic productions of the gospel. He could have done that well, that as well. And in these ways, he could have made the gospel visible. And all of these art forms were in fact popular at the time of Jesus, because it was popular among the Greeks, and the Romans had copied much of the cultural achievement of the Greeks. And so plays and statuary and paintings and tapestries and all of these kinds of visual art forms, they were available and they were popular in the Greco-Roman world. So it would certainly be understandable if God had ordained painters and sculptors and playwrights in order to further engage our senses and to give more variety to the kinds of ways in which the gospel might be presented. The fact of the matter is, he did not. There are no divinely inspired painters, no divinely inspired sculptors, no divinely inspired playwrights. God did not ordain the use of pictures and statues and drama as the means whereby grace is communicated. He does make the Word visible, but there are two ordained means by which they are visible, and we should not be distracting attention from them by drawing your attention to pictures and statues and dramatic productions. How does God make the Word visible? By baptism and the Lord's Supper. How does God present the gospel in a dramatic fashion? By displaying the bread and the cup and the waters of baptism. Those are the dramatic elements of gospel proclamation. That's how the Word is made visible. Not by painters and sculptors and playwrights, but by the simple administration of baptism and the Lord's Supper. This is also why the baptism and the Lord's Supper should be simply administered with a minimum of ritual and ceremony. In other words, we should not encumber baptism and the Lord's Supper with all sorts of gestures and postures and movements and extraneous ceremony and ritual which distract attention away from the thing itself. For example, in baptism, I don't like for the parents, and in addition to them, then their other children and the grandparents and uncles and aunties and everybody all gathering around the baptismal font. I think it's distracting. We want the thing to be the baptism. We want the focus to be on the baptism itself, not on the parade of relatives that come around the baptismal font. When we administer the Lord's Supper, we don't have a grand ceremony, processional and distribution. We just have as much ritual as is necessary to get the thing done, to get the elements distributed. Simply administered. Gospel simplicity. That's the same for preaching as well. We're not trying to demonstrate ourselves to be great orators. Everything that we do in the Reformed Church, we do simply, so that the focus is on the Word itself, the sacrament itself, and not on any other ritual or ceremony or rhetoric that surrounds it. And this is why the Apostle Paul, when he's speaking to Greeks at Corinth, who of course would be very familiar with the Greco-Roman preferred artistic forms, including the rhetorical arts, says, "When I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, He said, when I was with you, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. You know, in other words, I did not adopt all the rhetorical arts of the ancient world, because then you would have been impressed with how clever I was. And the point is that, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 2, your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the Jew would not be saying, oh my, what a wonderful orator he is. Doesn't he have a highly developed skill in utilizing all of the rhetorical arts? He's such a fine orator. Then your attention is not going to be on the message, but on the man. That's the opposite of what's intended. So simple administration of baptism, simple administration of the Lord's Supper, simple preaching, plain style, so that the attention is given to the thing itself, the sermon, the baptism, the Lord's Supper, and not on all of the extraneous actions and movements and gestures and postures and ceremonies and rituals that surround it.